Oh, here's an idea. I got an idea.
No one's ever written a cartoon in 20 minutes.
Here's an idea.
Hey, okay, the stupider we get, maybe the stupider the script will get.
Here's a problem with that whole story.
We should be writing this shit down.
Here's an idea.
Welcome to Here's an Idea, the Explosion Writers Room podcast, where we, the Explosion Boys, have to write and record a new animated short every week, and you're here with us for it. Let's introduce ourselves.
Woo! My name's Dave McElfetrick. I'm one of the creators of Selling Night and Happiness.
I'm Rob Denblaker. I'm another creator.
You just love saying that word.
I'm Chris Wilson, and I am an airborne flu coming through your airwaves, ready to land right on the tip of your tongue. Get a little taste.
I'm Joel Watson, and I'm going to be in an Airbnb tomorrow, so that's on topic.
Oh, okay. That's how this one's starting, then.
An airborne NB.
What I noticed this week, during our introductions, Rob, you decided to put on a nerd voice for your introduction.
Well, that's because I'm having allergies, okay? I'm not putting on a voice. My nose is stuffy because of pollen.
Wait, yeah, if you go to somebody and say, I've noticed that you're affecting a nerd voice, and he's just like, that's just me.
That's just how I talk.
You're just bullying Rob now.
Yeah, well, what else is new?
Yeah,
it's all the pollen in the air that's turning me into a nerd.
Chris, hold him down, and we're gonna pants Rob and kick his balls.
Let's purple nurple him.
Yeah,
what is that?
My nurp's already purple.
Where
no.
You twist their nipples until they're purple, and then you laugh at their shame.
I've got pre-perped nurps, so no need. What if you did that every morning? Here's an idea. Since we're supposed to be writing animated shorts, here's an idea. It's the bully that pre-abuses the bullied kid that pre-abuses himself every morning. So he pre-perps his nurps. He Indian burns both his arms. Yeah. He wedgies his butt. He swirlies his hair, and then he goes to school, and he's like, "I'm untouchable.
I've already had everything."
Yeah.
Then the bully's like, oh my God, are you being abused at home? Jeez.
Yeah,
I'm going to stuff you in a locker for your own protection.
from me and your dad.
You know, you can tell me if something's happening at home, you know.
Yeah, you can trust me. Well, I recognize the signs because of how often I inflict them.
Give me your lunch money so I can invest in a fund to get you out of that house.
No, what if the bully doesn't care, though? Nerds to bully. Like,
what
like
if they don't care? You,
sloppy seconds.
You don't want to be...
Yeah.
You don't want to be twice Indian burned, though.
Oh, I mean,
that's like doing
off.
Your steak well done.
Yeah, cool. Your skin comes off.
If you
that
Indian
point.
Burn the opposite way, it fixes it, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You have to put,
Yeah. But you have to have your hands covered in aloe vera, first of all.
Is this like running your car in reverse to lower the mileage?
Yep. Same principle.
It doesn't work like that. Ugh. I got in trouble one time at a church camp because there was this little squirt. And we could not stop wedgying this kid.
You couldn't stop?
No, like it was impossible like to stop.
What? A feral machine wedgying him to death.
It was like, it was the closest I've ever had to that bully instinct of like, you see him down the hall and your brain goes, oh!
Okay, was the
gotta wedgie that kid!
So was the wedgying a daily occurrence or was it like every 5 minutes?
Because
couldn't stop implies that it was constant.
Constant, way frequent.
If you wedgie someone around their head enough, will they eventually become nothing?
I'm gonna admit to something that I've never heard of anyone else doing in my entire life that I didn't even know was possible until I participated in it.
Okay.
Me and a counselor wedgied this kid so hard that the counselor lifted him up by his underwear and hung him from the top bunk post. And he hung there like a little fish. And
a fish.
Well, what did any of you get out of this?
I got way in trouble when I got home because his mom called my mom, who ran the camp.
Okay.
By the way, my mom ran the camp at which I underweared this boy.
You fucked with the wrong kid.
Only Jesus runs the camp.
Yeah. That's true. You have to, once you get there every morning, you unlock the doors and then you turn over power to Jesus.
And he's like, I run this shit.
Technically, they wedgied Jesus up on the cross.
That's true. We were just reenacting what we thought was the crucifixion.
He did not wedgie Jesus on the cross. I think
that's how they got him up there.
You're reading
they hoisted him up by his undergarments.
They also wedgied his feet and both his hands.
Yeah. Well, they purple nurpled his ribs and then Indian burned his sides with a spear.
Yeah, and on the third day, he emerged from his locker.
The Romans were the first bullies.
The Romans stood by the locker for 3 days. You're like, he's still in there? And he's like, yeah, he's let me out. I'm going to tell my dad.
I'm not coming out unless they're gone.
And yeah. I am my dad, so I'm telling.
And when he ascended into heaven for all to see, they're like, shut the fuck up, you snitch.
Yeah. Oh, there he goes to tell his dad.
You fucking tell anyone.
Shoot him down with an arrow.
I'm going to tell my dad.
Yeah, do you think anybody... Did they bother throwing rocks at Jesus as he flew away into the sky?
Spit wads.
Get down there.
Ow, fuck. Don't stop it.
You're really messing up his majestic ascent.
Oh.
They're like, I can see your balls.
I think the best way for him to ascend would have been a kite. Because he could have stood
kite.
He did on the
kite. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I heard something different.
Yeah, he could have flowed on up there. He could have just grabbed a bit of paper, done his crucifixion salute.
If the wind was only going to the heaven. I mean, you want him to go up, not just several yards in the east direction.
You've obviously never played Pilot Wings.
Well, as long as he can like get outside of the borders of Rome, he's safe, I think, or wherever he was killed.
Like upwards?
Up and over.
All borders lead to Rome.
There's probably a big wall where Rome's jurisdiction ends. If you can kite over
Are
that.
Are you talking about the city of Rome? Like they carted him off to Italy purely to kill him?
There's a big show, yeah.
Tonight's main event is killing the Son of God. Woo! And Barabbas.
What's the next closest country that wouldn't have been Rome at the time?
America?
No.
Israel?
Yeah, they owned most of that side of the world, right?
Does Israel count?
At the time, it didn't exist.
Yeah.
No.
This wasn't the 60s.
I guess most of Europe was just Rome.
Yeah, most of Europe was Rome.
It was Rome, yeah.
Well, I mean, the Mormons believe that Jesus popped over to America, right?
Yeah.
Is that where he flew next?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. He did a world tour.
Oh, so he kind of did like a kite that got lost.
Yeah.
Where he's like, whoa, 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 whoa!
See, Dave tapped into the real story. He goes, a kite that got blown all kinds of directions, and he landed different places.
Again, you're saying kite, right?
Kite. Yeah, stop being racist.
You
need to stop being racist.
I see your face, and I hear racist words, so that's...
Well, I mean, maybe you should look in the mirror.
Oh. Is it because of his slightly olive skin tone?
No,
you're looking at him, and you want to curse him out?
It's just based on Rob and how he's always saying racist shit. I'm just ready for it.
That's true. That's your bit. He's like the boy...
This is all a bit pot kettle black, if you will.
It's only about white people, okay?
Is the pot saying the kettle's in blackface?
Maybe.
Wow, that shut things down. Okay.
Racism can do that sometimes in the podcast. Yeah. So let's
nothing the podcast. Sucks the air out of the room more than a
we were talking
racist
to, we were talking about We were talking about a kite though that Jesus
right.
So Jesus is floating around like Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And he's visiting every country in
That's how it was spread, right?
Yeah, so that's how it was spread. Jesus,
so like, for example, like, and he like lands in China and gives them gunpowder, and like, and he flies over to
don't
America.
Tell anyone. Here's paper and gunpowder.
Right, exactly.
Hebrew.
He flies, flies over to Europe. He's like, here's pickled food.
Boiled eggs.
Put your fish in salt.
You've been a good little country this year.
Yeah.
Well, what does he give to the Americans? No, yeah. String cheese.
He carried them. He physically carried them to America.
Oh, yes. The lost tribe, which he carried on his arms.
He gets to America, and they're all asleep. They were trying to stay awake to see him come, but they fell asleep right under the tree. And he goes and he picks them up, and he carries them to bed. And he
says, tree?
The Jesus tree.
Samhain tree.
Okay. No, you've got this entirely wrong.
No.
Jesus goes to North America, and he wipes out all the saber-toothed tigers and like everything that's eating us. He's like,
by hand?
Yes.
By hand. He goes and fucking murders all of them. He kills off all of the megafauna that are threatening the Native Americans.
No.
And says, no problem.
Yeah, mammoths.
I hate nothing of it.
No problem. I like that he did that before anyone even asked.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've killed all the saber-toothed tigers.
Did he change his
just
size?
For you.
Wow, thanks. I thought they were kind of cool. Why'd you do that, Jesus?
Did he change his size or was he man-sized?
Man-sized.
Yeah, he's man-sized.
Wow.
He had nails still in his hand, and he just kind of jumped onto the mammoths and covered their eyes with his nail hands.
He had saber-tooth hands.
He also built...
He built the pyramids in South America, too. He said, I know what those look like. I've seen those.
He also built the pyramid in Las Vegas, I believe.
Yeah.
Wow.
He also invested in the Luxor early on, and it sold in the 70s, and he made a lot of money.
He did a couple of Bellagio performances, like walking on the fountains.
Yeah, he has a residence.
He was supporting Jerry Seinfeld, who was the headliner.
Wow. Hey. Great opening act. Let's have a big round of applause for Jesus.
Flew in all the way from the Middle East. Boy, my arms are sore because they drilled a bunch of nails through them.
Drilled them.
I just got crucified, and boy, are my arms tired.
And then he floated into heaven.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow, that is a
and which way is
whirlwind
that?
Experience.
Here's what I wonder. If he floated upwards into heaven, does that mean he's traveling through space in some direction?
Yeah, like Voyager 1.
Like Voyager. If you could pinpoint the exact moment that Jesus ascended, could you figure out where he is in space based
You're
on how much time?
You're saying he never made it there?
Well, okay.
It's really hard to tell how fast he's moving.
Also, space is vast, right?
If you read the Bible, it says that Jesus ascended into the sky.
Right.
So if that's a fact, that means he went in one direction, way up, up high. And
he's in a linear course.
Linear course, just like Voyager. So if you knew how fast he was going, and it was like 2,030 years ago, you could plot exactly where he is.
But for at least 30 years, they could still communicate with him for like 30 years and course correct him if he's about to hit a planet.
I mean, not back then.
Also, he slingshotted around Saturn to gain speed.
Oh, a gravity boost?
Yeah.
To get out of the solar system.
That's why Saturn has a halo around.
It says heaven's is in Alpha Centauri. That's where it's located.
It doesn't really say how fast he moves, but I really am curious because it could be very slow, you know? Yeah. Like he could be just
like
drifting and he's
hour.
Still around. You still kind of see him in the, like kind of vaguely where he's located from the atmospheric refraction, but he's still like for 4 days afterwards. They're like, yeah, he's still up there.
What if he's just in the upper atmosphere right now and he's stuck?
He's stuck, like a fly trying to get out of the window,
like a balloon. He's buoyant, but
he's hit the ozone layer.
This is all crazy, and it's only 1% crazier than what Mormons actually believe.
True.
Okay, never mind.
I do want to.
Speaking of Mormons,
great.
Probably someone trying to
get
sell
that,
us
Joel?
Something.
Yeah. Yellow.
Hey boys.
Oh.
Hey. Hey, Mr. Explosum.
So. Judging by the fact that you are not smooshed, I assume you put in the tape and gave me a good script, which, thank you for that. I appreciate your honesty in putting out a good script last
week. Well, your pre-recorded VHS tape has exquisite taste in comedy, so we're happy we could make it you happy.
I understand comedic beats and jokes, like timings.
You understand comedically beating us.
Yes. That's where I get most of my joy from.
I mean, thanks for not doing that.
That's called slapstick, boys.
Yeah.
You familiar with it?
It was slap ceiling.
Slapstick.
How is your romantic emergency?
It's not a joke. It's coincidentally your punishment if I don't get the script this time.
Wait, okay.
Wait, what?
First of all, Mr. Explosive, you're very naturally gifted with comedy. Considering you didn't even understand you were making a joke there.
Yeah, no, it's better when you explain the comedy at length.
Because while you're doing it.
While you're doing it. Because, hold on, let me go back. So, slapstick is like...
I'm going to mute Mr. Explosum.
Okay.
So, he'll probably be explaining how comedy works for a good 8 minutes, right? So, what is our strategy this time?
To kill him?
Well, to just get... Okay, remember, we've got two strategies. One is we've got to always be mindful of staying alive.
Yeah.
Two is we have to be ever-present in the effort to kill Mr. Explosum.
Of course.
Okay. Yes.
I'm open to suggestions, guys.
Well, Chris said he was going to be the one to take care of him.
Yeah, I'm going to slit his knees.
What are you going to do today?
Yeah, well, soon. I'm still waiting on that knife order. But it's perfect knee-slitting knives.
Oh, okay.
From the front or the back?
From the front. So when he tries to walk forward, he's going to kick himself in the balls.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay. That's better than my idea, which was, if you've ever seen that scene in Anaconda where she accidentally inhales a bee?
A snake.
A bee?
No. You were going to feed him a bee?
That. I was going to do that, except get it up his butt instead, but I can't figure out how.
Are you thinking my girl?
Yeah, that happened to
maybe
Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Wait,
My Girl.
He got a B enema.
Aren't My Girl and Anaconda basically the same film?
They're in the same universe.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool.
What's his name?
They're both happening at the same time.
It's not Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Culkin.
It's not Jonathan Nicolichnicki.
Okay, we should unmute this.
Sorry, and unmute.
And boys, that's when the movie Rover Dangerfield came out, and he was a dog.
Classic.
And that was the
joke. Are you doing a TED Talk on this?
A what?
A TED Talk.
A TED Talk.
Yeah. TED Talks are where a really smart guy...
I'm a Mr. Explosum.
Right, but you stand up in front of a crowd and you tell them how smart you are, and then they give you gentle golf applause at the end.
If you want to practice a TED Talk, I mean, we're happy to listen to you.
Yeah.
As long as you like.
I'm going to need some time to put together some thoughts on that one. How about this? 20 minutes for you guys to write a script.
Uh-huh.
And while you're writing the script,
yeah,
I work on my TED Talk.
Okay.
Okay.
Is it going to be about comedy or just something else that you know?
Well, it's going to be a little bit about comedy and a little about slapstick comedy. Because that's how I'm going to punish you if the script sucks.
I do remember something about you're going to come in here personally and slap our dicks.
No, it's going to be the Colorado Rockies, whatever the fucking hockey team name is. I don't know. I just paid their manager. They're going to take slap shots with pucks at your balls.
Oh no!
Ooh.
Probably about an hour. So I think I paid for an hour.
So we get like we get like our legs zip tied to either side of a goal.
Zip to each other, but you guys are going to be stretched out like one of those little friendship. You know, things you cut out of paper.
Oh, wait, you can pay a professional hockey team to slap us in the balls, but you can't pay us to write comedy?
You don't pay writers. They do it for love.
That's fair enough.
That's true. Yeah. I heard that on Reddit.
Yeah,
right.
Come on. Boys, you've got 20 minutes.
All right.
Oh.
You've got 20 minutes. I know you do not get skates.
Damn
You'll
it.
Be slippery slidey the whole time.
Oh, man.
All right.
Okay. 20 minutes.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Love you.
Okay.
You're always late. That's like three in a row where he doesn't hear that.
Does he even know how badly I just want to give him a mwah?
No, but you don't really.
No, but
you want to give
him
a spice to the knees.
Wait, what if you're like Sonya from Mortal Kombat? You want to give him the kiss of death and set his flesh on fire? Is that what this is all about?
I've often been compared to Sonya from Mortal Kombat. I get that a lot.
I've often said that Chris is wearing a green tank top, and he is. Always.
What if he's not?
He is right now. I can see him.
Also, I can shoot, I don't know, what is it, bracelets? I always assumed it was bracelets that fly off her hands.
Yeah, friendship bracelets.
Yeah.
I just want to be friends.
Yeah, and then you feel guilty fighting her after that point.
Wasn't the idea
kill you with
of
kindness?
Sonya to be like, there's a girl?
Okay, like, that's
like,
a good
start. Like Mortal Kombat was not a lot of thought put into like the story. But then they were like, there's a girl to make it even. But then you felt weird ripping the spine out of a girl when you were nine.
Oh, yeah, because the first thing your parents teach you is never rip the spine out
of
a girl.
I heard, that's all I ever heard every day. So
unless it's a self-defense situation, then you're totally to rip a girl's spine out.
If she's running at you, ready to fart on you, rip her spine out as she's pointing at you.
Right. I got in trouble one time because
You're always getting in trouble.
This is my abuse admission podcast. I was in second grade and a little girl came over and started beating the shit out of me. And so I punched her and then I got in trouble and she didn't. I was like, get the fuck off me, punch.
That was last year, right?
Yeah.
You never got over it. It's
you have a long history just feel like of there was punching people longer than you'd expect.
I guess.
How was she attacking you?
Don't ask me why. All I remember is that she jumped on me like a fucking crazy raccoon and like was like
that means she liked you.
She was clawing at me and like hitting and batting and kicking.
That's how the
she
Beatles
was negging
felt.
You.
Yeah, I think she was.
It was all
me.
A neg.
I was getting Beatles negged by this little girl, and I felt attacked, and I was like, "Stop it!" And I threw a punch, and it was effective, and I got in trouble. I got way in trouble.
Critical hit. Well, next time you can rip her spine out and it'll be okay.
I should try that. I'll keep that in the pocket for next time. That's a good move.
Yeah, just like off your back, rip her spine out, done and dusted. Then
I could also use my freeze powers.
Sorry, what was that about a Beatles neg earlier? I just wanted to rewind a little bit.
A classic Beatles neg is when you love something so much you destroy it.
Yeah, you chase it down the streets and rip it limb from limb.
Yeah, into a cab.
I think John and Paul were Beatles negging each other for a while.
You're such a fucking asshole, Paul McCartney. I fucking hate you.
John, go off and fuck your talentless wife, you silly old bastard.
That's it. Don't talk about my wife, you motherfucker. Oh, come here, Richard Starkey. We're going to use you as a human shield while we fight.
I just want to play.
I'm going to club you over the head with me bass.
I just look to play the drums. Peace and love. Peace and love.
All right. Guys, we have maybe 18 minutes.
Oh, shit. Okay, I guess
here's
down to business.
Idea.
I'm
just going to throw this out there, okay?
What did we already talk about?
We talked
bullying,
about Jesus.
Wedging.
We talked about Jesus
Jesus
on a kite.
Okay, Jesus and bullying. Okay,
what you
else?
Got, Dave?
What else?
We could talk about bullying still because I want to bring up, you guys remember Charlie Bit My Finger?
Yeah.
That old guy? What happened, you know, as they got older? Did Charlie continue doing nefarious things to his brother?
I think his brother died from finger infection.
Fingering infection.
Finger infection.
Mom, Charlie put my dick in a vice.
Mom, Charlie opened a credit card in my name.
Mom, to buy pizza.
Charlie ruined my credit.
Now, Charlie, you fucked my wife, Charlie.
You fucked my wife, Charlie.
Yeah.
Oh, bloody hell, Charlie.
God damn it, Charlie. He needs to be stopped.
No one
Mom,
can.
Mom, Charlie buried me up to me neck in fire ant.
Yeah. Oh, what a little shit. Charlie.
What a little shit. That guy's going nowhere. Okay,
that was back when YouTube was simple. You can just have a baby biting another baby, then 20 million views. Like, yeah, that's all it took.
But it also didn't mean anything because there was no way to earn money from that back then.
Oh, I'm sure those parents made a shit ton.
No, those parents were driving them around like they were fucking Aerosmith.
Yeah, there were Charlie Bit My Finger tours. There were autographs.
Yeah, I saw them pop up on some game shows and shit.
Yeah.
I saw them supported by Godsmack.
That's the right time.
Do the finger thing.
Do you think the parents would put them back in the car and like the mom would spread marmalade on the other kid's finger? Be like, come on.
Do it,
Charlie.
Mommy, what are you putting on my finger? Oh, it's healing liquid.
Come on, Charlie. The Ellen Show will give us $10 million if you bite Charlie on the finger.
We need something new. We need something fresh. What? Charlie bit my whole fist.
Charlie bit my dick.
He doesn't like it when I bite his fingers, so I'm not going
to
do it.
I mean, after a while, Charlie would become a cannibal. He'd get so used to biting body parts.
Once you get the taste.
Oh, exactly. Charlie, you ripped my heart out of my chest and ate it,
Charlie. Pull my spine out, Charlie.
Sonia, you pulled my spine out.
All right. We're getting there. That's an idea. Who else has an idea?
Sonia bit my finger off.
Sonia ripped my spine
That's much better than my idea, which is what if wine was just grape soup that accidentally went bad.
Grape soup?
Yeah.
Sounds more like a theory.
When did you write this? You're looking at your phone right now.
I wrote it like 5 minutes ago. I was in a real hurry to come up with an idea.
Why did you do that?
Because I wanted to contribute, Joel.
Oh.
I wanted to...
maybe don't.
I think it's a, maybe I don't think it's fair.
Anymore.
I think it's a legitimate contribution.
No, I think maybe in the future...
Imagine a guy who lives in Italy... Or France, and his whole life purpose is he makes the best.
I'm gonna make it a grape soup.
No one buys it.
That's your natural accent.
But no one buys it. No one shows up to buy grape soup.
And nobody gonna buy him a grape soup.
Exactly. Okay. And then one day, after 10 years of a failed business,
the door opens.
He leaves it open. He leaves his grape soup out too long.
Oh, sorry.
And someone takes a sip. He goes, no, don't drink that.
Oh, no, don't drink that. It's like a poison of grape soup.
It's expired.
Hey, it tasted delicious.
Also, it makes me feel like I'm sexy and smart.
I feel confident talking to girls.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. So what does that change if it's a soup? Just like you don't put it in a glass?
Put it in a bowl and you let it sit there until someone buys it. And never.
And if you put potatoes into it, it's a stew.
Yeah. Is there a garnish?
Maybe a cork on top.
Or like an olive?
yummy cork.
I mean, at what point does something stop becoming a broth and starts becoming a soup? I imagine if you have one ingredient, it's still just a broth, right?
Well, yeah.
One bean soup is a broth.
The ingredients are grapes and then grape juice.
And then grape juice is grapes.
So was this the first
one ingredient?
Yeah. This was the first guy that invented wine,
grapes
right?
Grapes in time.
They called him the Winer 49er.
Yeah.
Is that what they called him?
Then it's a two ingredients, a grapes and a thyme. And you wait, and then you get drunk.
It's pretty good.
It's
How long
good.
Will it take you to make some more of these?
Oh, 10 years.
What if I bottle it up? I make you a rich.
Who's this guy?
Also, he's an entrepreneur. He's the second partner. His name is
Rufio Wine.
Rufio Wine.
That's last name Wine.
Okay.
That's where the name comes from.
Thank you. Okay. I'm glad to know it's a family business. That's never changed.
Was he an old family friend of the wine creator? Or
yeah, the grandma.
Was he just walking he was by. A guy who walked in, kind of like the McDonald's guy. Who,
oh, okay.
Ray Kroc. He walked in and said, these burgers are all right, but let me tell you how to make $1 billion. That was his role.
Is that what he said?
Pretty much. Yeah, the McDonald's brothers were running one hamburger restaurant, but they were making burgers really fast. And this guy says, hey, why don't you have 1,000 restaurants and then you'll be a millionaire?
So it's just as simple as expanding by 1,000%.
Yeah, that's all we're doing wrong. If we could write 1,000 scripts in 20 minutes, we'd be rich.
Fuck.
Okay.
We are no McDonald's brothers, man.
No.
Chris, do you have any ideas?
I'm using that term very loosely.
Okay. Do you have a contribution similar to how Rob contributed.
He says that with fear in his heart.
Let's not call it an idea.
Yeah, in a way.
Okay.
It's the idea written down is just a guy who looks like your stereotypical pedophile, but all the kids think his glasses and his crappy mustache are so cool, and they keep following him, much like the Beatles chased down by women.
What?
But this guy keeps getting incriminated by these children who really like him.
Okay.
Who think
he's raising
so cool.
A really interesting. You're raising an interesting ethical quandary too, where like if kids are hitting on you,
yeah,
does that make you a pedophile?
Exactly. He's like, I hate kids. Yeah. Leave me alone. Oh, stay, but they're all away. Climbing.
I just
on
love.
Him.
And he's a bunch of kids trying to suck his dick 24/7.
Pretty
oh,
much.
No. No.
Yeah.
I just love. I love the image of one pedophile coming out of an airplane, and there's all these kids going, ah!
Yeah.
Trying to rip down the railings to get at him.
Trying to tear his clothes off.
Try to suck the sweatpants off him.
Better yet, it's four pedophiles with the same haircut.
Oh, yeah. No, there's four, but they're labeled 1, 2, 3, 5. So you had to... Everyone's looking around for number four, you know?
What?
It's an old prank.
He never existed.
He's behind
you ever heard that prank where you let four pedophiles loose into school, but you label them 1, 2, 3, and 5?
No, you got to label them like 12, 13, 19, and 60.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I imagine they run through the air ducts like aliens.
Yeah, except the sound effect of the beep is replaced by them licking their lips.
Oh, guys, welcome to Pedophile Talk. We're the four pedophiles with a podcast.
Please,
alleged.
You're just tuning in. There's a bit more context.
Oh, shit. Can we call our fans podophiles?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like
oh, my
it.
God.
Good job.
Yes, of
good
course
job,
we can.
Rob.
Yeah, I'm making that.
Rob, that was an idea.
That's an official decree if you're listening here. So from now on, you guys are called podophiles. What's up, podophiles?
Podophilia.
From here on out.
Podophiliacs.
Oh my God.
You know, what if they call them this and they don't like us? They unsubscribe.
Well, that like, still makes money them podophiles. You can't just not be one. You know?
Yeah, it's in your brain.
You can't unregister.
I guess so.
It's not a crime if you can't help it. Wait, what? Wait, what?
We need to take stock of our ideas and see what we got. We had Flying Squirrel Jesus.
Hang on, I'm still on pedophiles. Have you ever done the search?
Flying Squirrel Jesus? I'm behind my Marvel movies. Can you catch me up?
He jumps from Christmas tree to Christmas tree to avoid predators.
Oh, I see.
Have you ever done
scrubs.
Have you ever done the search to see how many pedos live in your neighborhood?
No.
No.
I did?
Oh, wait. Yeah, I did.
I did, and there was one down my street, and I told my wife what house it was, and I said, stay the fuck away from that house.
Okay.
And she goes,
oh she's safe. Don't worry.
No, because she will... You know, she's in charge of her child.
Indeed.
And she said that when they were selling Girl Scout cookies door to door, they went to that house. He opened the door and went, nope, 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 and closed the door on him.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Did the door creak open and there was like a sheep skull on the door that wrecked?
But I mean, he was like, nope, the temptation. Door.
I just want to fuck some kids.
Yeah, that's all he wants.
What I highly recommend is looking up who's in your neighborhood, who's on the sex offenders list, and just so it's easier to reference, go paint a big red X on their door.
Right.
The do not fuck X.
Yeah.
Avoid.
Everyone knows it as also, the do not fuck X.
If there's any single hotties who are of age, put a big green check mark on their door.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, hang on. And if there's a kid, you put a big yellow smiley face on their door.
This is getting weird.
Yeah. These are mixed signals. I don't know what to do with a big yellow smiley face house.
You need to know how to react to whoever's behind those doors, be they a grown person who is hot, a little kid, or a pedophile.
That runs both ways, though, because what if you open your own door and look at it, and then there's like a purple guy shrugging? Like, what does that mean?
That means proceed with caution.
That means you're in McDonald's again because it's Grimace.
Yeah.
Hey, wrong.
Me and you, Grimace, we're going to take over this town.
Here's how you're going to make $1 billion off your hamburgers. You're going to have a big purple dude and then a thief who steals hamburgers. And they're all going to run around on TV.
Ooh, that reminds me. Regarding the McDonald's universe, so obviously the Hamburglar's in town, right?
Yeah.
And they've called a town meeting. The mayor's there.
Who's the mayor?
And he's like,
Mayor McCheese,
obviously. Oh. And... they do the worst thing. They're like, we're going to catch this guy, and we've got the best guy on the job. We're going to catch the guy who steals hamburgers with Officer Hamburger for a Head.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, he can bait him.
So you're saying...
I'm saying that he's in serious danger of being near the
hamburger. You're saying this is the equivalent of saying this, we're going to catch
the pedophile that has been destroying our town. Here is Officer Child for a head.
Exactly. Yeah.
Entire child for a head.
Entire Officer Jonathan, entire child for a head.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. We're talking about
the scrapped character, the ham molester, right?
Yeah. He molests your ham.
The ham diddler. Robert,
do you by any chance have...
You open the fridge and you're like, someone's fucked my ham.
Is anyone running a timer? Do we have any idea how much time we have left?
I thought you usually run the timer.
I know, I forgot.
Oh, no.
Time is a circle, man.
Yeah, oh, good.
I could set my watch completely different time from yours.
Yeah, hamburgers are a flat circle. We all know that to be true. That's why you can never finish one.
It's because it's infinite. That's why. It goes around in a circle.
You can go back and revisit the same bite whenever you want.
Here's
how you're going to do it. You're going to either sell a billion hamburgers or you're going to sell one infinitely large hamburger.
Forever.
Either way, you're making $1 million.
Yeah, the one infinite hamburger costs $1 billion.
It's a recursive hamburger.
It's a Mobius strip of meat. You can never finish.
A big downward spiral of hamburger.
I think that's called a buffet.
What do you say, McDonald's Brothers?
That's my favorite Nine Inch Nails album, The Downward Spiral of Hamburgers.
Yeah, the promotional one is free and happy meals.
What, your last name is McDonald? That sucks. Forget about it. We're going to call it the Infinite Downward Spiral of Hamburgers. Okay. That's the name of your restaurant. You're going to be rich.
The McCursive.
Yeah. Between 1 and 1 billion served at all times.
I like Infinite Downward Spiral of Hamburgers, but how about Dairy Queen?
Yeah, how do you represent mathematically a hamburger that is either enough to feed one or all people, where people are in and hamburgers are infinity?
You call it the McFinity, and you slap it up on the menu.
McFinity! Oh, no.
McFinity. To McFinity and beyond.
I have a bad idea.
I think McFinity does my internet.
Oh, that's
weird. Yeah, they bought out Comcast.
Bad ideas.
Two bad ideas. Guys, listen, you know the thing where we give out the email address and then the people write us in with their ideas?
Oh, yeah.
They're really bad?
How's that going?
It went really bad.
Okay. Good.
Like, almost to the point that I don't want to read this person's name because you're going to make fun of this person because the idea is so bad. But it's TJ France.
Who?
Our podophile, TJ France.
We need a name for this part where we turn to the emails. It's like, all right, let's go to the podophile bag theme song.
Let's go line up the podophiles.
Line up the podophiles. That's what the segment's called.
Line up the podophiles. All right.
Oh, TJ said, I don't care if you say my last name or not. Okay.
All right. What's his last name? Miller?
It's France.
Oh.
Here we go. Open on a skinny dude. Let's call him Dave. That's about you, I think. Struggling to lift weights at the gym.
Mm-hmm.
He complains about not being able to gain muscle mass. Also, his penis doesn't work. That comes in later.
That is you. It's definitely me, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's got me down to a T.
I can't get any muscle mass. Also, my penis doesn't work.
He's been spying on me like flying squirrel Jesus in a tree.
Yeah. Billy Mays appears. If you remember, he was a pitchman from infomercials before his heart exploded.
Okay.
Hi, Billy Mays here with another fantastic product from the makers of ShamWow. Here's Penis Wow. You can guess where this goes.
Yeah.
He gives you a boner pill and other stuff happens. He also takes time to write down Penis Wow equals Viagra plus steroids.
Huh.
So that was important. Dave, he mentions again, this is you. Dave takes Penis Wow. It doesn't work. His penis gains muscle.
Okay.
His arms become erect and it looks like he's hailing Hitler.
Hmm.
He's hitting all the buttons here.
Yes, that's my excuse. That's why I go Hitler.
Why is this guy so fixated on Dave's penis?
I don't know, but here's the next part.
Okay.
Hitler shows up.
Okay.
A bunch of people don't like Hitler. That's true.
That's accurate.
And try to kill Hitler and Dave.
He's also accurate.
That's they've really dumbed down the description of World War II there, haven't they?
A bunch of people don't like Hitler and try to kill Hitler and Dave. I never understood in my history book why it said they want to kill Hitler and Dave, but now I get it.
Am I the result of some sort of Mengele-esque experiment where I've ditched for arms?
Here's the twist. I know where this is going. Hitler realizes he's been grouped in the same category as Limp Dick Dave, so he kills himself.
Hang on.
I can't kill myself because I got dicks for arms.
He's muscly Dick Dave now, so.
Did we get it right? Is that where it ends?
No, this is the best part.
Okay.
Dave's penis has steroids in it and starts smacking people with his buff penis.
This is just erotic fan fiction.
I like it.
Is the penis acting of its own accord, or am I instructing it to smack people?
Hitler is so thankful, he gives Dave a blowjob.
Hitler is thankful?
But Dave's strong penis ejaculates so hard it blows Hitler's brains out. Credits.
Wow.
There is a post-credits scene.
Okay. I was hoping there would be.
I'm next in the Marvel Extended Universe.
I'm not going to tell you. It's anyway, Thanks, TJ. Again,
you have to tell us. You can't leave us hanging like that.
Give us the post credits.
Okay, post credits.
We want the post credits.
At the Illuminati headquarters, your methods are unethical, Billy Mays, but I can't argue with the results. Here's your next target. Picture of Mark Zuckerberg. I don't know, man. This is all over the place.
can we do
a quick recap? I have dicks for arms. Yeah. I take a pill that makes my dick extremely muscular.
Strong.
Right.
And then I jizz Hitler's head off.
Yeah.
Right? Is that it?
Hmm.
And Billy Mays is in it.
He's in there somewhere. Well, yeah. TJ, thank you for your contribution.
Again, and I want to point out that if you email us at podcastexplosum.net with your idea, we will probably read it and definitely make fun of it.
Yeah.
It'll be bad.
Email us.
Can anyone write something as bad as this one, though? Is that possible? Can it be surpassed?
Worst?
Yeah. That's
so your challenge to the podophiles is a worse idea than TJ's.
I want them to ruin our day.
I got to say, good effort, like good hustle, TJ.
Yeah.
But way bad in terms of idea and comedy.
It was definitely passionate.
It sounds like that's six different bad ideas poured into one bad idea.
Do you think there's any part of that idea that we could perhaps utilize?
I'm just saying
let's go ahead and give TJ some creative notes.
Okay.
Let me start. I think it was great. I think when you have Hitler enter in the second act, it's very much a convenience, almost a deus ex machina once Hitler pops in. Also, like, I feel like there's a plot hole. Like, you're not allowed to actually peddle pills at your local gym. I think somebody would have kicked Hitler out pretty fast.
They do that, man. They do that in the locker rooms.
That's why they would.
Oh, really? Have you seen The Wrestler?
I go to different gyms.
Another screenwriting note here. I think that it's Hitler's motivation is a bit questionable. Like, he starts thanking you. And
I can agree with that.
And I would like to see
that's
callback.
That's a Churchill quote, I think.
Yeah. I would like to see a callback of the muscular dick being utilized instead of projectile ejaculate. I think it could really round things off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You're saying that Churchill, Hitler's motives are questionable.
And what was the other description?
Muscular dick.
There are a few people that don't like Hitler.
And they want to kill him and Dave. It's Gary Oldman in full Churchill makeup going, and we must stop Hitler and Dave.
I was like, wait, who's Dave?
Huh? What? Who?
I'm the one petting all the dogs in the pictures of Hitler with his German shepherds.
Hey, I love dogs.
Hitler and Dave, they're the best of friends. What was that? Whoa, the phone hung itself up before it rang.
It's a ghost phone.
Oh, shit. I think that means he's been on the call the whole time.
Okay, do we have a rough idea?
No.
Answer.
Okay. Hello.
Here he goes.
Answer.
It's script time, boys.
Yeah. Mr. Explosion, were you listening the whole time?
So good to hear from you.
Thank you. Oh, I hadn't heard that you loved me for a while. I wasn't sure.
Chris,
now's
your chance. Give him a kiss.
But I heard. Oh, he already gave me one smackaroo, but I'd love another one.
You want to know why they call me Smacks the Frog?
Why do they call you Smacks the Frog?
Mwah.
Oh, I walked right into that one.
I don't get
That's
it.
That's comedy.
You guys are good at comedy.
Oh, okay,
That's
good.
That's awesome. So, speaking of good at comedy,
yeah,
I'd love to see that script.
Okay.
That's good because we totally made one.
Yeah.
You know,
we are ready.
The cool thing about our script is that we forgot to give it a place to happen. So
if you want to
get that producer credit, you should probably contribute a little bit.
Oh, goddamn right, I'm getting that fucking credit. It's gonna be at a TED Talk.
Oh, okay. Oh, we forgot about that. Good. Let's.
I didn't.
Let's not talk about. Oh, it's at a TED Talk.
TED Talk.
Okay, great.
Okay, so we open up on a TED Talk.
Charlie and his brother are giving a TED Talk on YouTube. Ad revenue.
We're in the wings watching Charlie and his brother, now in their 30s and 40s, finishing their TED Talk as another TED presenter. It gets ready nervously to take the stage, played by Chris.
Oh, man. I hope I have all these questions ready. I want this to go well. I want people to learn, but there's just nothing to fucking ask two grown children. There's nothing.
Okay, all right. Hey, you got 5 minutes. Are you ready for this? You got everything you need?
As ready as I'll ever be.
To go out there?
Come on, you can do this.
All right, you got your questions?
Feel a little nauseous. Yeah, I got my questions.
You got a glass of water?
Yeah, yeah, big one.
You got mayonnaise to put on your finger?
Of course, of course. I came pre-mayonnaised.
Okay. And thanks, everybody, for coming down and asking a bunch of questions. Me and Charlie will see you again soon, all right? Thank you, everyone.
Yay.
All right, just getting off the stage here. Oh, that didn't go bad. That didn't go so bad, did it, Charlie?
Great job.
Not so bad, but I feel like I'm a little bit... I want a little bit more meat. I'm still hungry.
Oh, dear. Well, I suppose you can have a suck of the old finger then, eh?
Oh, boy, I would love that.
Oh, well, don't eat too soon, guys. We still got another presentation coming up. And
Oh, what?
Yeah, everybody gather around. Now that you guys gave your TED Talk, this is TED Talk After Hours, where we have our presenter, Kevin, is going to take Charlie and Charlie's brother, who shall remain nameless.
Are we allowed to drink alcohol after hours? Because I brought my grape soup.
Yeah, you drink. There's going to be a bowl of hot grape soup provided for
you. Yeah, you can drink soup here until midnight.
Hang on, let me shake this British accent off.
It's very Moorish, isn't it, when you talk around us? I didn't have it earlier.
All right, I'm just a regular guy, not a British guy. Okay.
All right.
So, listen, you're going to go out to the stage.
Get off me finger, Charlie.
Save it for the crowd, guys. They paid good money to see this, okay? So you guys are going to sit on stage. Everybody gets a bowl of hot grape soup, and then Kevin here is going to hit you with questions both from the internet and from his own heart.
All right.
If everybody's ready. And then we'll take some from the audience.
I've got a question.
Are you Charlie's brother?
My name's Charlie. At what point in the show do I bite my brother's penis?
I guess we'll just have to see what happens.
Charlie. Talk about my penis, Charlie.
Oh, he can if he wants to, you know. All right, you guys, head
contractually,
on
I'm allowed to.
All right, everybody, a big round of applause again. They just walked off stage. They're walking right back on. Woo! Charlie and Charlie's brother and his Kevin.
All right, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
I can't wait to learn.
Thanks for...
Ready to learn.
Thanks for joining us here today. We have the two shining stars, the internet's own baby brothers. We have Charlie and Charlie's brother. Everyone, give a big hand.
Thanks for coming to see us, everybody.
All right, Charlie and Charlie's brother. I got a couple questions here. Some from the internet, some from my heart.
We'll
start off from my heart real quick. Okay, first question. Do you guys fuck?
Is that from the internet or your heart?
It's from my heart. Do you guys, the two of you, do you fuck?
So if you consider inserting body parts into each other, it's usually in one direction. I like to nibble on whatever parts I can
get. Technically, I penetrate Charlie every time he tries to stick my finger in his mouth.
Can we demonstrate?
Oh, please.
All right, have a pop in here. Oh, it's starting to hurt, Charlie, it hurts. Bloody old Charlie, you've got to beat all the meat off right down to the bone, Charlie.
I've gone a bit mad, haven't I? I'm sorry.
Well, you've heard it here first.
This is the first time that this has happened.
You heard it here first, folks.
I took off a finger.
I've seen some fucking in my day, and that was definitely one of those times.
Go to the audience questions. Go to the audience.
Time for some questions from the internet. You know, the internet, the internet knows you very well, Charlie and Charlie's brother.
No. Go to the audience, you dumb shit. Listen to me. There's a microphone out there.
Okay. We're going to go to the internet here in real life. Quick audience question. You, sir.
Yes, I'm Jonathan McDonald's of the famous McDonald's brothers, and I've come here to pass the wisdom that was given to me by a benevolent billionaire. And to Charlie and his brother here.
All right.
Instead of putting honey mustard on one finger and eating it.
What?
Get, with one brother, get a billion brothers. Cover all their fingers with delicious sauces. And then you'll make a killing.
I'm sorry. Yes, I didn't catch you. Who the fuck are you again?
Oh my God.
I'm Jonathan McDonald.
Okay.
You may know my more famous brother, Ronald. We started the hamburger chain. You know our slogan. Everyone say it out loud.
You do
a
look
hamburger
like
is a flat circle.
Yeah, everyone. Downward spiral of depression.
Yeah. So that's our. One more time, everybody.
A hamburger is a flat circle and a downward spiral of depression.
Exactly. Thank you. I do get paid every time that song is sung. I've witnessed your coming up in the internet, and I know your parents probably made a decent amount of earnings from the YouTube.
Let's wrap this up.
Bro,
we got a lot of audience questions.
Hold on.
I need to confer with my brother on this. Yes, this could be a good deal. Come over here,
Charlie. Hey, I think I've solved all of our problems.
Me, I think so too. Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Just so you guys know, you're both mic'd.
Oh shit. Charlie, okay, how about Charlie.
Now, neither of you said an idea. You just started eating fingers.
People talk about how Charlie likes to do one thing, which is eat my fingers.
It's true. That's all I want to do.
They don't appreciate the bounty of sauces that he's, imbibed himself with. Just eating my fingers. I mean, Thousand Island dressing, ranch. He's had it all, really.
You know, Charlie, Kevin over there has dipped his finger in mayonnaise. And
Oh, boy.
Oh, whoops. Yeah, I guess it was left open there. I didn't even notice. But yeah, I got a mayonnaise problem.
Go on, Charlie.
I told Kevin to stick his finger in the mayonnaise earlier when I had a British accent, but now I don't. So I figured you'd get hungry later.
Go on, Charlie. Go on, Evanosh. I won't be offended.
Well, if it's all the same to you.
Wow.
Kevin, you're taking this like a sport.
Yeah.
And I appreciate.
Can I hold the back of your head? Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, Charlie, your face is all covered with blood.
That's because I'm sucking all in his wrist now.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I swallowed his entire hand.
He's clean up to the Apple Watch.
And I'm not giving it back. It's delicious.
He's eating that gentleman like an anaconda.
Anyway, thank you all.
Our father died 10 years ago. There's no one to record us now.
Thank you for coming to this McTalk that was a TED Talk that is a McTalk that is also a McRib. Because you're eating Kevin's McRibs now. You haven't stopped.
I'm being devoured by grown children. Thank you for coming to the TED Talk. The McTalk.
McTalk. And this is what the internet begat. Thank you, McTalk. I'm Jonathan McDonald.
Oh, man. Can I buy a t-shirt?
I thought that was gonna be a tough one, but that was natural. Good job, everyone.
Mr. Explosive, what do you think? What do you think about the McTalk?
So what I learned from this is that if you're the richest person in the room, you can just take over and run roughshod over whatever concepts you like. I really am a fan of that.
I feel like I'd say we learned that from you, but really we learned it from America.
Oh. So I've been working on my McTalk. And it's about comedy, and I'd like to show it for you guys.
Can we be your audience?
I'd love to be
I'm going to mute Mr. Explosum real quick. Beep. Guys, if we can really bolster his confidence, if we give him big applause, if we can really just suck his dick on this McTalk,
sure.
I bet he doesn't. What was the threat?
Slit his
slap
knees.
Her balls with hockey pucks?
Oh, I agree. No, he was going to get an entire...
No, Chris! God damn it.
He was going to get an entire TED Talkie team. To slap us in the balls with pucks.
Okay, I don't want that to happen.
No.
Okay, so let's... Okay, unmute. All right, yeah, Mr. Explorer!
All right, beautiful. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here among fellow Richies. So, comedy...
No one's called Richard here.
...is very important and has happened over the years, and I think it's touched all of our lives. So
he's got a point.
Slapstick is one of the most important forms of comedy, and I feel like speaking here today, I'm qualified to tell you about the greatest slapstick joke I've ever made.
Okay.
In the years I spent dedicated. See, over these years,
guys, this is running
kinda
long.
Collected four people, professional writers.
What?
And imprisoned them.
Wait.
And force them to write scripts, or I kill them.
Well,
it's working. Every single week, I get to threaten a new way to kill them,
and it's
fantastic. You get to watch them scream and squirm and come up with things. It's wonderful. God.
I'm gonna mute Mr. Explosive.
Which part's the joke,
guys? We're the joke. He's saying we're an experiment.
Wait, what? This is like a big shocking mid-season twist.
This is like before Lost abandoned all its original premise.
This is like when someone gave me dicks for arms and a big muscly penis.
Oh my God. Unmute. Mr. Explosive, are you saying we're the punchline to a joke?
No, this is not about you gentlemen. I wanted to go outside the box. That's a thing McTalks are very about. And so, no, I would not purposefully torture you guys for my own humor.
Because you know what's weird is because we're four writers, and you do torture us.
There is four of you writers, yes.
And you torture us every week.
I don't torture you. Escape my torture.
What?
It's a very big difference. Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Yeah, no, you guys are fine. You guys are completely fine. I have not harmed a hair on your head. It's all been psychological.
Hey, I'm doing a similar TED talk on heckling, and I just want to mention that boo, you suck.
Oh, man.
But you're not talking about him, right? You're talking about the concept.
Yeah, that better be conceptual.
The concept of heckling.
So what do you guys think of my TED talk? I don't give a fuck about your script. What do you think about the TED talk?
I loved it. It spoke to me. It made me change. A changed man.
It literally did speak to you, yeah.
It spoke about me, I think.
The moral I learned you boys is that you won't be able to keep your comedy wagon going unless you keep us alive. So see you next week.
Right. It's kind of a mutual benefit thing.
Chris, give him a kiss.
Yes.
That's for you. That's for my big TED talk.
Bye, Mr. Explosum. What the fuck? You guys...
Wait a minute.
That whole thing was about how we're like in a Saw room.
You know, I suspected it when I realized all the doors here are fake. And we sleep on little cots every morning.
And we had ants and scorpions like week in, week out. I mean...
No one else works here.
Yeah. It's an empty warehouse.
Well, the ants and scorpions are definitely doing work.
Well, yeah, but they don't get paid.
Right.
But then neither do we, and for that matter.
The cleaner comes in sometimes to mop up the conspicuous piles of blood that are in the corridor.
Yeah,
Jesus. Yeah.
I'm starting to see this whole thing in a new McLight, which is that we're maybe...
We're McFucked.
McFucked. We're McRats in a McSperiment.
Also, what are these blinking metal things that are locked around our necks? Does that have to do with the...
Another week, another whatever the fuck this was. If you want to write and review us on where you get podcasts like iTunes and Google, please do that. If you want to hire hockey men to hurt us, I guess go for that. Email us podcast@explosum.net. As you've seen, we'll read your idea and probably make fun of it because it's probably bad. And and then our Twitter. There's like no one following it. Why doesn't anyone care?
What's the Twitter? Tell us.
At Here's an Idea Pod.
I don't care.
It's got like 100 followers. Oh, okay.
Sorry. Right. Continue for those who might.
No, I think that's it. Here's an Idea Pod. At Dave Explosum.
Yeah, you got me right.
At Rob Dimblaker.
That's right. Podophiles.
At _Chris Wilson_no_.
Correct.
At Hijinks and Sue. That's me. Oh, and our Patreon. Again, if you listen to this and you want to give us money, what? But if you do, patreon.com/cyanide_and_happiness. No further underscores.
That's right.
What are we doing there, guys?
People can chip in and help us out to continue making the shorts, which
we're
currently having trouble with.
Thanks to YouTube
having a massive meltdown.
Logan Paul, who fucked that corpse in the woods.
In the Japanese woods, yeah.
Ever since then, ad revenue has been down because of that guy.
And then we're talking to the people that sign up on that. We're calling them our Ultra Mega Pals. We're talking to them on a private Discord.
Yeah.
We're showing them unreleased things that we've never shown anybody.
Like our dicks.
Our unreleased dicks that we've never shown anybody. What else? Dave is giving a tutorial about how to get your dick out of your zipper, whether it goes through the hole or up and over.
I was about to talk about that, yeah.
But we're done. We'll have to save that for next time.
Hey, that's a good opening for next time, so stay tuned.
Okay, so for Here's an Idea, we're the Explosum Boys. Again, I don't feel great.
Yeah, let's make like Jesus and fly out of here on a kite.
Oh, that would have been a much better script.
Yeah. And beyond!
Here's an Idea is an Explosum production. For more comics, cartoons, podcasts, video games, and lots more internet, go to Explosum.net. EXPLOSM.net. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Explosum Entertainment. If you have comments for the podcast, email us at podcast@explosum.net. Be nice.